Members, we hope to, if you live in a cluster, I don't want to tempt people's sites, but I do want us to try and finish at 10:30. But not every space of the engagement, per se. So there's the opening that we have, and then we have a couple of apologies. We have one from Honourable Shabandu, Party Business. I think it's the same applies to the Honourable Lewis, Party Business, right? Pardon?
I just want to make sure the Honourable Shabandu's visit last year was that his annual visit.
I'm not too sure. Are you talking about Korea or...
I just want to know if it was his annual visit and that will be it for the rest of the year or we can expect him later on in the year.
No, I think that, you know, your records don't quite coincide with mine, but point is made. Honourable Hill Lewis, also Party Business. And then we've got an attendance here. We've got the Department of Trade and Industry, the DG, Mr. Lionel October, Mr. Eunice Wooten, Acting Head of ISA. You see, when I say that, that of course is intervene, you know, these acronyms can be quite challenging. So it actually stands for Investment South Africa. And the Ambassador, welcome, Ambassador Sadiq Jaffer. Thank you very much for being here with us. There are a few other people around, but the team is here. We've got Mr. Medina here in front of us, who's focusing on this itself. We have a late apology from the Honourable Montash, who'll be here in a few minutes. I'm not aware of any other apology, Honourable Kalako. Honourable...
Chairperson, I just nipped down 2 floors to science and technology, listen to the presentation.
And then we've got everyone in front. So without further ado, for the adoption of the agenda then, thank you, Honourable Williams, seconded by the Honourable Kurnos. Now, the others... Honourable McPherson.
Thank you. I was also just likely to second the adoption of the agenda. But, Chair, I have sent you a couple of emails letters payable to you and just wanted to understand when we could get that response or if you can take that to Manco and we can discuss those issues as well.
Now, I'm sure you appreciate my priority is slightly different today, yesterday, but I will look at it tomorrow in detail with Manco. Thank you. Members, just to remind you, yes, it is the budget debate, and as usual, we have a number of exhibitors downstairs in the National Assembly sort of courtyard, clerks are there, and I'm just mentioning them. We've got products, services, Esmond, Laborte, these, the name of Quantum, we've got 3 or 4 people there, we've got clothing, Lee Chantel, Graham, Jackie, we've got Anne Boyiswa, some of the names here is a Chitra. She's a pity for the Toyota. Yes, remember we saw that, eh? And Maneli, Maneshe, Lungi, Toyota as well in Vijay. We also have Global Wheel, manufacturers of commercial agriculture, earth moving, and military steel. I'm not sure that we've come across that here at Parliament, per se, physically. So, and that 100% black owned, Smith Capital, and this is from the NES side of things now, investment manufacturers, aerial platforms, cherry pickers, commonly known as cherry pickers, the ITRA Trading Investment, CCTA, Saravana Textiles, manufacturers of adult and children's garments, and Steel Co. Empowerment. Yeah, the point I'm making here, and that's 100% black-owned supplies of TVs and tablets. So, they downstairs, and I know a number of you have even had the opportunity to make personal visits to NEF, so you'll be pleased to once again engage some of the partners, people that they have supported, let us be black-owned businesses. The other point that I must just point raise now is that the Minister very kindly, for those who believe they are photogenic, has invited members of the committee to join him in a little photo shoot after the debate. You know, when various weapons of different kind are put aside, our voices match, and we go out on the steps to show that that go once again, we're all together. Anyway, I thought it was a nice idea of going to invite members of the committee. Yes, Honourable McPherson, do you want to change your suit?
I would have done my hair this morning if I had done that. If I want to ask Minister, maybe we should do it before the coloured language is delivered in the House and not after.
No, I think it sends a message to South Africans that we speak robustly in the House. But yes, we are all together when it comes to voting, not solely. So before we yet persuade Mr. Wilson to come to the wrong meeting, can we have you to start off the acting here after DG Lionel October?
Thanks, Honourable Chair, members, for us to present Investment South Africa. The presentation will be done by Eunice Wilson, who is the head of Investment South Africa and also has been almost more than 20 years in the department doing investment promotion. And then he's supported by Ambassador Sadiq Chapo, who has just returned to the DPI from a stint as Ambassador in Saudi Arabia. I think I will just, this is what will be covered. A lot will be spent really on just explaining what is the progress that we made since the establishment of Invest South Africa at the beginning of last year. Honourable Chair, I just wanted to make a few opening remarks before Eunice kicks off. The first point there we make is just to really emphasize, because I think sometimes we take investment for granted. In the country, people visit Toyota, they visit Unilever, and all they have is sometimes criticism of these investors. And I must say the problem is that investment is absolutely critical for growth. You cannot have any growth in your economy if there's no investment in capital machinery and equipment and investment in labor in order to produce goods. So the factor that drives growth, which we're all looking for, and drives jobs, is the investment we make. So really investment is our most primary priority if we think about jobs and growth. The second point to make is that if you look at the levels of investment you need, they say any economist will tell you that to get an investment of about 5%, you need investment levels of about 25% of your GDP. That is gross domestic fixed investment as a proportion of your GDP. Our GDP is roughly 4 trillion rand. So out of that, we must generate 25% of that as investment. Now we're currently in the region of about 19-20%. So we've come a long way, but we need to increase the scale of that to about 25% of GDP, and then the National Development Plan says we must reach a long-term growth to sort out your unemployment problem, you need to hit 30%. And that is what countries like South Korea and China have achieved. So that's the importance of investment. The good news is that we are turning the corner on the investment front. You will see that our pipeline has been increased, which is to 93 billion rand, that we expect to attract this year. Our usual investment pipeline is about 50 billion rand. And that shows the level of ambition, but we've got good grounds for believing that we can meet that target. And Eunice will explain to you in detail, but just in the past 3 months, we've already attracted 10 billion of investment. If you remember, we made a major investment by Ford, yesterday by Nestle, and others, like Eunice will take you through it, but we've already just in the first 3 months, a substantial investment. So what we're saying is that definitely there is interest from many, many companies in South Africa, as you can also see by multinationals like India. All of them see South Africa and the continent as the next growth frontier. The other reason we're confident is because, as you know, we come emerge, and members of the committee was present at the China Africa Summit, where the Chinese invested, and we are working, as I pointed yesterday, on some of the zones, both in Atlantis and in Messina, there's going to be substantial Chinese investment. Final point we want to make is, where we have seen success in investment is two areas which has attracted the highest level of investments. One is the RIPP program, that is the renewable energy program, and automotives. Over 25 billion of auto investment, over 180 billion in renewable energy. We say those are two success stories, and the reason they are successful is because of policy certainty. As you know, in autos, we have a LPDP, an auto investment program, which runs for 2020, and the minister has given up a commitment to 2025. So investors like BMW, Mercedes-Benz, Toyota, Ford, the reason they invest, because they know the government has a clear incentive program in place. And that is why they are prepared to build the BMWs, the Fortuners, and so on in this country and make a long-term investment because of policy certainty. So, secondly, 190 billion in renewable energy, which the World Bank endowed as best practice globally for renewable energy and solar. Again, the reason the RIP and our Department of Energy and National Treasury has provided certainty to people who invest in renewable energy, and that's why we were. So we are saying going forward, let's give certainty to investors like we have done in autos and in energy, and then we will attract those investors. I'll hand over to you.
Thank you, DG, Madam Chair, and Honourable Members, morning. What we, DG has sketched out the investment environment in the scenario. What we do is that we check for the four quarters of the financial year and we develop an investment pipeline of projects. So from quarter one to quarter four, we've tracked in our pipeline from a lead to a possible committed investment 88 projects. And of that 88 projects, it comes to a total of about 93 billion rand. And of that, almost already, or 30% of that is already committed investment. And these are some of the investors that have already in our pipeline that we know that are committed investments, such as the Aqua Power Plant that was launched in March this year, the BMW project, the Bobbin Oil Tanking Facility here in the Western Cape, the Johnson & Johnson launch in January of this year, Cipla under massive investment in the pharmaceutical sector in both oral solid doses, but also moving up the value chain in biologics and so forth. And I think from our pipeline, what we see now is that the reason for the division of our country is that we have a greater focus in turning the tide in terms of making these investments, getting them to committed investments. And you can see on a monthly basis, this first quarter alone, in March, the 5 billion rand Aquapower in the Northern Cape, Sumitomo Rubber in AZN district, in Ladysmith, 2 billion rand investment for tires fitting into the value chain of the automotive sector, deepening the component supply chain. Nestle's investment yesterday in export for the coffee plant makes it the single most largest coffee manufacturing facility and a hub for Africa for coffee manufacturing, filling our objectives of industrial development as well as inter-Africa trade, where the coffee is also going to be imported from African countries, processed in South Africa, supplied into the African continent. So Toyota, you'll see the Hilux Fortuner being launched on the 24th of May. This is a major project for South Africa, an export platform into African markets, the Toyota and the Hilux. And then in May also, Impact, which is a sustainable investment in terms of the PET packaging plant, which is one of the projects that we facilitated, provided an incentive support, unlocking the electricity and municipal connections, and this is a project that we won the award in Dubai last week Monday for facilitating a green sustainable investment project. We won third prize in that region, globally and for the African region. So,
just before you go further, if you go back to that slide, you then well it mentioned what Aqua stood for. But you know, I was thinking, was it something to do with the sea or I know it isn't, yeah, it's not in the morning, okay, but
I So EquiPower is a Saudi-based company that works in energy and water infrastructure. And that's the name, EquiPower. I think DG and in the greater sense of government in terms of our NDP has stressed the importance of how we need to increase the investment in terms of our ratio to our NDP targets of 30%. So I'm not going to do that, but what I think we can elaborate on is what has government been doing in the past year. I think the president in meeting business in a number of platforms in the presidential business working group, looking at South Africa's scenarios in terms of the regulatory environment, the investment climate, the investment competitiveness, and then having these regular discussions with the business. The president in the zone of 2015 announced intergovernmental clearing laws, and in the zone of 2016 emphasized the implementation of intergovernmental clearing laws. Minister Davies, on the announcement of the president, then instructed us to establish a division that will focus as an interface of focal point in diverse intergovernmental clearing house. The president then announced an interministerial committee in December 2015 to focus on the overall coordination of South Africa's investment policy, investment environment, regulatory environment, emerging the country, and getting South Africa ready for investment, championing investment projects that are packaged for investors to come to the country, and then establishing and giving better focus on the one-stop-shop approach, which we will elaborate on. So there are, Madam Chair, members, there are 18 members of the Interministerial Committee, of which Minister Davies is the alternate chair to the president. And these are by and large policy, from economic space, from the regulatory space, they're all areas that affect business or investment. So, in a nutshell, the president announced in the summer of 2015, the minister also, I think in the investment scenario, there are three things that an investment agency does. One, it does investment promotion, which we always did, and it always has another two legs, investment facilitation, investment aftercare. The one-stop shop facilitation and aftercare part comes in those two areas, and that's an area where we are adding capacity and we're strengthening that, and therefore the need and the need for us to establish the division and create a one-stop shop agency. So what we are going to be doing is that in government we are the focal point for the one-stop shop implementation agency on behalf of overall government, on the facilitation of investment, and it will come to it as we go. So what we will be doing is that in government departments, we'll reduce the silo mentality, we'll reduce the red tape, fast track, and unblock issues in government, establish a one-stop shop where we'll bring physically in one house core government departments that affect investment or business in policy or in administrative phase, where they will be able to then advise firstly investors and then assist them with the administration applications for licensing registrations or permits, as well as the work that we will do in the later half of the presentation, purely focusing on improving the investment climate, investment, the ease of doing business, and the competitiveness of the country. Also, the president, when he announced the IMC, in meeting business, adopted a private-public partnership approach called InvestSA. So this is government and business public-private partnership. We are known as Investment South Africa. The division is Investment South Africa. It became a fully-fledged division 1 April this year, 2015. Investment South Africa. The brand of this public-private partnership is InvestSA. So it's the public-private partnership event in which there are, in the presidential business working group, there are five work streams that filter or put into the work of, we will outline in the work of the Interministerial Committee as well as the Technical Trust Team on Investment. So basically, the Invest SA is a presidential project, investment They say it's a presidential project. One stop approach is stop up is a presidential project. It's implemented by EDI. It's housed in Investment South Africa. We're the implementing agency. As you said, there's an IMC, and we are the layer underneath the IMC for the overall coordination, alignment, facilitation in government on investment. In the end, you can see at the bottom, four government departments of policy, permitting, infrastructure, finance, that are involved in investment. The IMC is supported by a technical task team of DGs that look at the work in terms of the vote, the unblocking, as well as looking at how South Africa can be preferred investment destination. So, in the one-stop shop, we will roll out three one-stop shops this financial year. The first one-stop shop being a national one-stop shop located at ETI in partnership with EIPC, and the other three will be provincial one-stop shops in Gauteng, in KZN, and Western Cape, and in the next financial year we'll roll out the three. The one-stop shop, as I said, will provide first and specialist advisory, but its core functions will be working on business permits. So all government departments that are involved in business permits will be located there for licensing and registration. To provide advice and to find out how we're going to do it is that each government department will have a focal point at the level of a DDG to unlock or and form part of the forum, and then send one either chief director or director in the one-stop shop to actually do the work and meet the investor and do the running around and facilitating and making it smooth for the investor. On the left-hand side, Madam Chair members, you can see the core departments that form the basis: Department of Labor, Mineral Resources, Home Affairs, Water and Sanitation, COPTA for Municipal Facilitation, Rural Development and Reform for Agricultural Land and so forth, and other government agencies like SARS, CIPC, ITEC that's housed at DTI, and our CSS for instance and so forth. And this one-stop shop, the Secretariat is the technical task team that reports to the Presidency, and at the bottom layer you can see the four specialist services that we will provide in terms of those three areas of commerce, registrations and licensing. This is just a schematic diagram of what one-stop shop, the national one-stop shop will look like. And as we said, there will be piloted in quarter three of this financial year and the other three in parallel before the end of this financial year, 16-17. This is basically what we became Investment South Africa. So in becoming Investment South Africa, I alluded to that an investment agency is an investment promotion, investment facilitation, and investment aftercare. These are the core things that become an investment agency. So in this structure, we become a member of an investment agency functioning within government. And this, as you say, honourable members, you have a pamphlet, leaflet, would you, that tells you about USA, tells you about, this is our brand, this is our logo, as of 1 April, USA, one-stop shop approach, this is who we are, it tells you about our services, on investments, investment information, investment facilitation, aftercare, what kind of aid of the services we provide, both financially and non-financially, intergovernmentally. And then I think the core part of our work also in the intergovernmental testing is to focus on how do we, why we fast-tracking and unblocking red tape in government is to improve the ease of doing business in government on a year-to-year basis. That means all government departments committing in this cluster run by the IMC, because in the IMC agenda, the first point of the IMC agenda is unblocking red tape in government, improving red tape, improving efficiencies, making it easier, making more comfortable. As you can see, South Africa's competitiveness out of 144 countries, we did improve this year. So that we did improve, and you can see on the right hand side how do we compare with our peers. We do compare favorably, but much more can be done in this scenario. And then on ease of doing business, on the left hand side you can see the top three countries, then how do we compare in African countries? In the ease of doing business in 189 countries, South Africa has dropped in this year's ranking from 73 to 69. That is where the cause of concern is to us in government, and that is why there's a dedicated focus then throughout government to improve the overall ease of doing business. And as you can see, this on the left hand side shows you the core indices that affect business and our rankings and how we're performing. So this is earmarked for us as an exercise throughout the three spheres of governance that we're going to improve. This shows you what we've done with the World Bank and the National Treasury. We took municipalities in provinces. It shows you how municipalities compare. And but what it tells you is that the systems and processes in government are the same in all municipalities, but we have different steps in the thing. So these things need to be systemized, be more efficient and be more effective. And this is where we can do better, and it's easier to do that. So this is what we are going to be doing with Treasury and the likes. And this from this is the recommendations from the World Bank. On the right hand side tells you what government departments are going to do. So we're working with National Treasury and core departments to improve the overall investment climate from investors on Africa. And this is across the ease of doing business has 6 indices. Across those 6 indices, what we need to do to improve or to make it more effective. They relate from starting a business. Starting of the business, we have improved, and come to that in a moment, but what it does tell us is that the core portion, 70% of the time that is spent in registering a business is spent on 2 areas in the Department of Labor. Registration for your compensation fund and the other areas of labor. So we'll be working with the Department of Labor to say we holistically do this. The overall process in terms of starting a business in South Africa will improve dramatically. So also deal with construction permits, enforcing contract trading across borders. SARS has implemented a number of e-platforms, e-portal already on the customs side, implementing this year itself. So that also improve the ease of doing business. But what we're doing, a total holistic approach. Now, besides the indices that gives us just a ranking from the ease of doing business and the competitiveness, when we're talking to business, these are the areas that businesses have highlighted to us that become sticky or bureaucratic processes, delays, projects for investment. So in addition to those things, environmental impact assessment is one of the key areas of how we can reduce it from 36 months to 90 months to shorter. So each government department will have norms and standards to improve those processes. Mining permits into that. Visas and work permits itself. These are the easy processes. Water licensing, land zoning transfer, company registration, a lot of the work, as I said, we're dealing with CIPC, we're linking it now with the Department of Labor. We've done a lot of work with the banks itself, in terms of booking accounts of the online and so forth, and municipal services. So, what we're saying is that South Africa has a basis, is able to attract investment, but there are a number of areas that are within our controlling government to improve this. This is also a core portion of the work that is going to be done by Invest South Africa to improve intergovernmentally, besides the overall coordination and reducing the silo mentality and unlocking bureaucracy, to work on improving the investment climate and so forth. So in South Africa, we've done a quick snapshot. There are more than 18 national government departments that are involved in some way, shape or form, regulation, policy or this thing. And that excludes the SOEs, agencies and provincial and local governments. So this just gives you an idea of these are government departments that we have to work through. And at the moment they are all working this thing in their own domain. But through the IMC, and the technical testing, we are able now to coordinate this. And then through GG October and GGWC, we are able to champion this and have a coordinated effort in the FOSA, in the technical testing meetings to reduce these overall run around from investors from pillar posts, but to make it deliver in terms of the one-stop shop approach. Also, given the economic climate, most of your investment comes from retention and expansion. And that's why we said we needed to strengthen the focus of investors in aftercare and facilitation. And this is what current investors tell you, that if you sort out these, I'll be able to expand more, and they're able to talk the good story of bringing further investment from other investors globally. So, just very quickly, I want to say that the members, the progress that we've done since 1 April 2015, we've begun a peer review on municipalities with the Treasury and the World Bank, and we're looking through this peer review. For example, Mangaung is regarded as the best for electricity connection, not the Western States, right? So, or not, Inkerlen is regarded number one in the South Mangaung. So, through this peer review, we're getting the municipalities by their own accord in a competition amongst themselves to recognize that they can also do it, and they can also get there. So, that's just a process that we're doing, but more importantly for us, is to move to a process where we're taking these things through a business facilitation project from UNVAC. We're going to do an e-regulation program, e-registration program in IDAG. So we're going to map out all these processes, map them out, get the times, the standards and norms, and set targets for government departments to this thing. And those targets become the norm, they get better every year. And then we're going to put them on an online portal. So people then will be able to do these services online instead of coming to a government department, doing a stack of paperwork and so forth. And this over a period of 2 years, that's six basic services in terms of the ease of use we're going to automate. So these automated services will be part of the one-stop shop. Just to give you an idea, CIDC, at the current stage and in this financial year, we're moving almost closer to total automation in CIPC. This week alone, we did a project with NetBank in launching CIPC online. CIPC launched 44 self-service terminals last year, the last financial year throughout the country. It's going to do another 12 this financial year. We're going to do it in more tier 2 cities, in chambers for smaller business across the country. And our partnership is with CIPC is also to roll out the one-stop shop, because CIPC is critical to registering a company in the one-stop shop approach. Similarly, you recall there was an inter-ministerial committee on visa chaired by the Deputy President. This is what we've done in Home Office. As DTI championed the cause for business, we managed to get a multiple three-year visa of three months to 3 years for business coming to South Africa. Similarly, HomeAffairs has already automated a number of processes. You've seen the launch of the smart ID card in the banks and so forth in the year. They are also rolling out a number of VFS centers for visas throughout the country in this financial year, as well as abroad in key markets such as China and so forth. Our work as an investment facilitation part in Investment South Africa works in terms of the tripartite of Department of Labor and Home Affairs in fast-tracking or unlocking or processing of visa applications for investors. Just give you an idea of some of the snapshots of the companies or visas that we facilitated or we fast-tracked in the financial year ending from April 2014 to March 2016. Beyond the visas, when we started to become Investment South Africa, this shows you the kind of the facilitation or unblocking work that we made it easier for investors. Nestle, for example, has 8 plants in South Africa. In 4 of those plants, Babalegi, Harrismith, Netcourt, and in Eastern Cape, in all of them, we've been able to unlock municipal issues, electricity issues, connection issues, and so forth. And these projects, for example, AVK in the department, we designated the product valves, and in designating the product for valves, they've invested in the country. So, unlocking ITEC, tax issues, investment facilitation on incentives. So, the total unblocking area, this is the key focus of us, and these are some of the projects that we've unlocked in this so far this year. And basically, this is, Madam Chair, this is InvestSA. It's not ISIS, it's ISA. So that's a short button.
No, thank you very much, Mr. Hurston. Right. In fact, it's very exciting. It really is. You know, if ever I heard a narrative of hope, this is it. Really, you know, I can see us having far on this program and online. Let me allow members to engage on it. Right? And I saw Honourable Nkongi, Honourable Ed Serpent, Honourable Williams, did I see? Yes, Honourable Kalako. Sorry, Honourable Elvis, just, you know, that light down there. Apologies.
No, thank you very much, Professor. First, we'd like to welcome the presentation. I want to concur with the Chairperson that this presentation is the presentation it is a word of hope for many of us. But there are such a number of things that I want to say. This investment that has been sustainable in South Africa, the question of automotive and others. And there are other multinational companies that are still here in South Africa. I just want to ask two things. The impact of energy and electricity shortages, what have been the impact on this investment? Was there any impact, or it was just a hearsay that investors are running away from South Africa? The second one is the impact of the drought that we had in South Africa, we had at the end of 2015. What could be the impact that it had on the strategy of pending investment in South Africa? The last one is, yesterday we were discussing a matter and we raised the question of the Interministerial Committee on National Innovation. Now, let me that the President have appointed an Interministerial Committee on investment. What could be the linkages? Because now I'm worried that we're going to propose a plethora of interministerial committees and our ministers are going to be sitting in a meeting and doing work on that. Now, is it not possible for us to mainstream this interministerial committee on investment to deal with other important issues of industrialization of South Africa? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Kalako. Yes?
I'm
sorry, I'm Kongi. Now, I know you are, I do recognize your voice. Yeah. Don't get too worried, Honourable McPherson.
Thanks, Chet. Well, easy to remember who I am.
No, you said
that
all
you, I can't see. Although I say you can't, but we all look the same. Look, let me start off by saying, you know, well done to Mr. Houston and his team. I think this is something that, you know, we find broad support in. And also, personally speaking, you know, I'm very impressed with the way Mr. Houston deals with potential leads that I see in him from people that contact me. So I think that we're headed in the right direction. But as the DG quite correctly pointed out, and I think the success or failure of InvestSA lies in the ability for us to communicate on policy certainty. And where policy certainty exists, we see success, as he pointed out, in autos and renewable energy. However, I think that we still have a number of areas where policy certainty doesn't exist or could be made better. And I really think that as a committee we need to encourage the minister to be a policy certainty lobbyist in cabinet to deal where those concerns exist and have been expressed by the very constituency that we are trying to attract. But what effort DG is he made to address those areas of policy uncertainty? I mean, I know, you know, one bill that continues to cause much uncertainty is the Securities Amendment Bill. So I think we need to have a discussion around that. I think taking one step forward for InvestSA is really converting our foreign missions and embassies into investment houses and promotional offices for South Africa, but more importantly, equipping them with trained and skilled investment hunters who can be in the international market aggressively hunting for investment. I know that my colleague, Uncle Fuller, has used the French example as one such idea, where they are almost earn a commission on investments and attractive to France. And I think that's the next logical step, is turning our missions into investment houses. The only thing that seems to be missing from this presentation is what marketing investment strategy exists for InvestSA. And I think there's a lot to be learned from Tourism SA. I think they do quite a good job in terms of promotional investment advertising across the world, and I think that we can certainly partner with them to learn a few things. I'm quite concerned by the ease of doing business slide, the subnational rankings that were put through, and I find it extraordinary that it takes nearly a year for an electricity connection to be obtained in Nelson Mandela Bay Metro. And I think that one of the big challenges we have, EG, is cutting through bureaucracy that exists in the many layers and forms that we find in South Africa. And I think that's one good thing we're doing, is creating and repay. I'm not certain in my mind yet what executive authority the investment SA has to cut through all of that. Now, I'd just like to have some understanding how that's going to work. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable McPherson. Honourable Williams.
Thanks, Chair. I also like to applaud the presentation. Yes, it definitely is like a light at the end of the tunnel, but I would like to know, when exactly is this one-stop shop going to be opened? Because we heard about it for quite a long time, but I'd like to actually walk into it one day. And also, on slide 34, it talks to, the cities are competing with each other to try and become more business-friendly. I'd like to know, have you looked at smaller towns in the rural provinces? And I'm not talking about in the middle of nowhere. For instance, Secunda, at the Governor Betty Municipality in Mpumalanga, there's a lot of business around there. For instance, Sasol is there, and there's many other companies that are operating in the chemical industry. I'd just like to know, have you looked at those municipalities and how, if they're ready to, welcome foreign investors? Because it's all very well to have the major metros and the major towns already, and then the investor decides to go somewhere else, and that municipality might, cause problems for them. So I just want to know what it's like in the other towns. Thank you.
Thank you. Honourable Albert.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for the presentation. I think if you get this formula right, it will be a huge leap forward for South Africa and for investment in South Africa. Just a preliminary requirement, I guess, to the whole process, and it lies more on a political level, but I think you need to address this, and it's in the policy certainty that feeds into regulatory certainty. I think that, foreign investors are worried about, are things like private property protection in terms of the constitution. We are busy with a bill in that respect, and there's some uncertainty. So, from your side, you probably need to give feedback to the political leaders in your state to make sure that they actually give certainty to the international investment community with regard to private property, because that is the basis upon which our economy works or will not work if it's absent. Then, just secondly, I've noted that your business engagements are mostly within South Africa. Have you engaged with any foreign chambers of commerce and any other investors outside of South Africa to gauge what their points of view are and how you can actually make the system work effectively for them? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Honourable Kalaku.
the presentation by the department, I think it is beginning to take us forward. But just one worry I have on all this is at the level of local government and province. It's good to have this structure which will be driving this one stop shop and trying to make conducive environment for investors. My worry is on the around the element of capacity in province. Because in provinces and municipalities, mostly in this district municipalities, one of the discouraging elements of to investors is for them being unable to process many of these areas related to investors. And in the government and for some of them, they are not even able to spend their budget. We have been confronted by that. So to me, it's going to be important that the department, the government in fact, through this structure, we must apply a very heavy hand in dealing with the provinces and local government on this area. And also, my question would be, I know the red tape of government, even in between departments themselves, is a huge problem. And the question of gap, when it comes to this one, you know, discouraging element, when you want to deal with the delivery. So, how is this structure with all these departments? Are the people who are going, as you are saying, if I'm correct, who said officials will be seconded from his department to constitute this structure, and whether they have been doing a day-to-day work? Is that structure going to find itself in a situation where some of the officials will say, no, we'll have to go back and get a mandate from water affairs, from, you know, that red tape, because if it's going to be like that, we won't be killing the red tape. I think this structure must have powers and regulations which will be able to transcend, you know, or some of the problems you'll encounter from individual departments. So I wanted that to be clear.
Thank you very much, Honourable Kalako. Honourable Mantash.
Thank you, Chairperson. We always appreciate the presentations by the entities of the department. I just wanted to check what is the page, DG, on the G19, that just student system rate system 9 and system 11 at 76. What is the cause of such downgrade? And secondly, we appreciate your identification and the grading of municipalities in as far as the notion of doing business is. But can you, when since you're talking about, you know, integration of work with that department school, link together with some of your special of your department, because DG on special economic zones, we appreciate and in that transfer, we appreciate that you're moving from the coast to the inlet. But in this one, you're still sitting on the coastal town. When do you think you can move into the inlet? Because bulk of the people are there, and if you continue in this fashion, you're not taking any economic transformation with the inland people. And our policy is that we must transform our economy radically. And in what I see, there's no radicality. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Mantash. Just a couple of pointers from myself. A lot has been said about the value in a coordinating mechanism of an interdepartmental or interministerial committee. But I think we all feel very strongly that we don't want to see this acting as an impediment, a kind of opportunity to go slower on everything, but rather troubleshooting quite forth in this regard. One of the things as well that one was looking at here, as Mr. Wilson mentioned, you've got promotion. We all know promotion of investment, and a great brand invests South Africa, that brand. But even the facilitation, we can move along with that. But one of the most important things, and I really would like to see a lot more work being done in this area, is the aftercare. As we all know, once you bought a car, or a little gift, champagne in the car and whatever, goodbye. And then you're stuck with the problems. Now, the most important thing here is going to be that opportunity, and you mentioned it as a kind of forum that will be there. If they are sharing experiences, the role that Invest South Africa will play, will it simply arrange and you get together, or will you play an integral role in assisting in that regard? One final point of filling in forms. Now, any PhD graduate will tell you the one area he's glad or she's glad she was not doing a PhD on was filling in a form. No one I've come across can fill in a form. So how easy is it, you know, the simple is it going to be to facilitate this, ease of doing business? To me, that form filling is very, very important in this regard. And I just want to, some of you may have heard that, you know, you all know about the manufacturing circle and the relationship to exports and so on, but one does want to just recognize the passing of Bertie Lubner, who was actually a foundation member of the manufacturing circle. We were first impressing on this only we could have an investment instrument. Well, today we have got that. So thank you very much. And if we can, from the DG, Mr. Wilson, the ambassador, try and get some responses back. Thanks.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, and thanks for the expressions of support for this important initiative. And also, I think there's some suggestions coming about in terms of the executive authority and the need for some power or for more investors, besides just persuasion and so on. I think if I kick off with Honourable Kombi, I think he asked about the sustainability of investment and the impact of energy. Really, energy had two impacts on the country, or the lack of investment in energy. The one is obviously those who are intensive users of energy suffered most. And especially if you take a steel plant or aluminium smelter, 25% of the costs of that investment is energy. So that if you don't have that energy or you have a cost increase, it had a massive impact. So you can see the impact of the steel industry has been extensive and so on. The other one has been, and we just will tell you the story, it's not so much the question of the load shedding type problem. It's a problem of municipalities. So for example, with the Nest investment, units have spent weeks and days in arrangements running between the municipality, the Minister of Public Enterprises, ESCOM, to be sure that Nestle, who experienced 30 work stoppages or electricity stoppages, and we have solved that problem for Nestle. So that's the kind of work that we've been involved in, the tradition of municipalities supplying to secure electricity connections and availability of power. So that's the energy story. As I said, again, the drought is biggest impact is on, as I said, one of the fastest growing sectors in the South African economy is agro-processing and agro-industries. And so that sector is mainly affected by the drought. But obviously, we can work out of that area. I agree with your suggestion that maybe we should, rather than having a plural committee, maybe look at that. And that suggestion comes from the committee. The investment, the IFC investment expands its area of work. Because I think it's probably true that as the core of industrialization is investment in productive assets, in machinery and equipment. That is how you industrialize a country. So it is linked to the two. And I indicated the reason South Korea became an industrialized country is because they hit investment levels of 20% of GDP.
investment in industrialization. Honorable McPherson, yes, I think again the point about support in terms of policy certainty, and as I said, is the role of the cabinet, as I indicated, for example, there is an issue in with Nestle. He personally interacted with the Minister of DPE to then call in Eskom and to solve the problem in Harrison with regards to sorting out the Nestle issue. As you know, he has been at all the launches of the Nestle for major investments, and so we worked through all of the issues and so on. I agree that we, as I said, we're only starting now, but as you indicated there, especially the uncertainty around the mining legislation has been raised. That was discussed at the President's Interministerial Committee, and he has raised those issues with the ministers concerned to bring quicker certainty to legislation, and especially to the uncertainty with regards to mining NPRDA. I think on the question of agree that basically investment is also about our marketing strategy, and you've emphasized the importance of transforming our emphasis really into a bigger focus on commercial aspects and on economic diplomacy. I can report that just on Monday we had a meeting with Durko. They will be calling special meetings and conferences and with all the heads of mission, the main theme, and I think they were doing their budget vote. And it's going to be precisely that there's an increased focus on economic diplomacy. And we will be conducting workshops for and training programs for heads of mission and what other embassies are. But I think I agree with you fully that that is what the core focus is of our investment mission. I think both you and I think Minister Larko raised the point about the powers of the Invest SA. As I indicated, Minister, to Honourable Kalako, you're right. We could be dealt with that issue about, as you said, there's an agreement that these departments like Home Affairs, Water, Environment, they will be seconding the decision, and on Honourable Williams' point about when. We agreed immediately, the focal points are set up, but by the third quarter of this year, they will be physically seconded to the department. What we then answered to deal with the issue of our mandate, Honorable Kako, agreed with the presidency that they must send somebody of director, chief director level with the requisite authority to be able to make decisions. So if, for example, we need a work visa for somebody, the person, hopefully the chief director or the director, at least a director from Home Affairs will be able to immediately phone or contact the Home Affairs office and tell them, now Nestle needs work visas for these people, can you facilitate it? So that's the purpose of it. But I take the point, maybe a few further down the line, we may have to create an investment act which put these things into legislation. But I think that's definitely what I hear from it. Because it is in other countries, I think Nigeria has set up a investment where they were at. Where, as I said, they can then give instructions to departments once they go for an investment. I think if I can just, Honourable Williams, I think US will go give the detail of when it will start. And so, Honourable Mantash and Honourable Albert, I think, yes, you can see where we... I think you can see in terms of the rankings, right, we need to do more work on private property rights, because if you take the question of security to investors, we're in the top 10, you know, in terms of the security we give for the total investment, but for property rights we're only number 24. So I think that's a lot about registration of deeds, registration, and then those things. But I agree with you that is the area we can definitely improve on, because as you can see in other areas, number one, with regards to financing, people raising finance for an investment. I mean, the whole, and then Honourable Matasha's point, I think where we are, as I said, we still have a lot of work to do. The good thing is that we've moved from 56 to 49.
So we've moved up to 7 places, but we as you do say, we need to obviously get into the top quartile of these things. On the question of chambers, yes, we've got, as I said, I think you just counted some of the meetings this year, but on the foreign chambers, we work very, very closely with all the foreign chambers, and especially AmCham, American Chamber of Commerce. As you know, they are even co-authors of the Equivalent Program and the Black Economic Empowerment. And then also with the German Chamber of Commerce, we're spending more and more time with. But what I can say is that really the European chambers should really learn from the American Chamber. I mean, you can see that American Chamber are much more entrepreneurial. They, for example, on equity equivalence, we've had massive programs of black economic empowerment from IBM, from Microsoft, and now we've got one big one from Caterpillar. But you see the German Chamber and the others are still discussing how they're going to develop economic empowerment. So there's a lot of talk and lots of meetings. But as I said, with the AmCham, they immediately produce. IBM is going for a second economic empowerment equity equivalent program now. And as I said, we're still trying to get the supply development program going. We're working with the German Chamber of Commerce on. I think this is honorable for me to conclude from my side. I think Honorable touches as it really the key issue, which is why sometimes people become frustrated with, even though showing impressive levels of FDI, why do not we not see results on the ground? And I think that is because of the dual economy nature of this country. As you know, there's a big disjuncture between where people invest, where the factories are, and where the bulk of people live. And so, for example, we see it all in the major urban areas, which are the three core areas, which is Johannesburg, Ekurhuleni. You can see most of our investments in Gauteng, and then catered in Durban proper, and then in Western Cape. So what we are going to do, and I think we're working with Investment South Africa and the SEC unit, is working more and more closely together. But also, if you take companies like Nestle, they are the ones who join these industrial parks. So Nestle has plants in Babalehi, which is close to big townships and sources of labor and so on. But I think that is the problem we have to solve, which is, and as you know, I mean, we launched yesterday the one in Bosabelo, which used to be the old crop park area, even though it's just a few kilometers from Bloemfontein. It has been a destined underinvestment, I mean, because of it is our homeland. But we've revived the industrial park, and you can see the companies are now much more comfortable. We've put in place new fencing, we've put in place more lighting, we've improved the road infrastructure, we've improved the electricity connections and so on in Botsabelo. Therefore, I think the way we get to attract more investors is that we must make it safe for them to invest in these areas. Also, the DTI, we are busy looking at finalizing it, but we will be, in terms of our own offices, we only have offices in Cape Town, regional offices in PE and in Durban. We are going to expand now. We're opening an office in Tata, and we're going to also be looking at Bulawayo, so that we can make those centers and the work we do, we can do it close to where people live and attack investment in those areas. But I think that the dual economy is the main problem. If we can shift the special patterns of investment, because we've got a distorted abnormal economy where investment is separated from people, and if we overcome that apartheid spatial dynamic, I think we'll overcome that problem, and people will be able to see the FDI and not, and as I said, if we get more foreign investors into these kind of areas like Babalehi, like Mthatha, like Dimbaza, and so on, I think we'll do that. Yeah, Eunice?
No, thank you, TG. I think just a couple of points to add to TG. I think maybe the irons on investment, I think it stems from the work or the president's engagement with business, where the issue of policy certainty has been raised with the president. I think this is one of the most key points that the president took the decision to establish the IMC to improve the overall investment policy environment and policy certainty. And And I think that what the president has done is he is, we met with this, and on the 9th of February, 2 days before summer, the president met 200 investors that day. And in that meeting, Minister Davies presented his investors approach. And also in government on the 4th of March was the first inter-ministerial committee meeting. And on that agenda was the issue of policy certainty was the main issue in terms of how government departments or ministers interact in terms of legislation and regulatory environment. So I think the policy certainty part is a key component of the IMC agenda. And the IMC itself, it looks at the overall economy in South Africa, but more specifically in terms of implementation of the migrant plan. And if you see the part we spoke about industrialization, it's a key focus in terms of the higher impact industrial policy action plan as well as industrialized, regional industrialization of the African continent. So that part is already there in the IMC investment. So I think that the core part of the IMC would first be a portion that deals with what are the challenges, constraints, or unblocking issues on investment. Then secondly, how are we gearing up for a higher level of investment? So those two things from the central task of the IMC, and then the part that we, the third part that is that we report on what are the issues or the unlocking. There is an escalation. Firstly, we have the specialists to do the jobs that they need to do. And it goes up to DDG's forum that I could call any DDG in the government sphere to unlock them. If it fails, they will quickly go into the technical testing of the DDGs. If it's something that is major, like we have to do a pipeline, for example, for oil and gas tanking, that we will take to unblock in the IMC, where all these ministers are there. We have the discussion, we unblock it, and it all systems go for that investment. So there is a total escalation thing. Our minister presented, as I said, on the 4th of March, it was adopted and accepted that we had invested, SA will run the one-stop shop for government. So now we will start the work process. On the marketing side, as I said, on the first meeting with business, because it's also a public-private partnership. It was accepted by business, the brand was accepted by business, the minister also did the presentation in the IMC, and now starting the work on the marketing side together with brand listing and other government bodies, both internationally and domestically, to refocus and reshape our plan. What we've done a lot in the past year is precisely what the chair has mentioned, is that only after care. We've engaged the chambers. Every week, for example, last week I met the Indian Chamber of 120 ministers. We engage the chamber holistically. We bring the departments, SEZ, BE, intellectual property. We have the discussion. Clear the policy space on anything that's on administrative, we then take it and we unblock it. Whether it's in Italy from the 120 Indian ministers we met, 25 of them had questions on visas. So we then unblock the visas for them, intergovernmentally. So we have a key focus. And then also when Honorable McPherson mentioned about the commercial houses or trading houses, what we do as investment is that we have very strong partnerships with sister or partner agencies internationally. Our partners, for example, in Japan, we have a partnership MOU with JETRO. JETRO is the main body that deals with business. So when they have investors, they bring the investors to us. That's the partnership approach we have with agencies around the world. We have more than 240 investment agencies, and we have, with the key ones, we have MOU and we have implementation plan, how we would help each other out in terms of investments, due diligence, or commercial market intelligence, and talking to companies. So we do have that in hand. We also, in the aftercare, very actively engaging with the chambers. You could see the robust debates we had with the US Chamber and AGOA and so forth, but we've been talking to them also on, while talking about AGOA, we're talking about them on the investment aspects that they had, on the private security goal, the IP goal, and those things. So we've been having very robust, but what we've been doing also is an analysis on the chambers, because the chambers give you an indication of whether foreign companies are increasing or decreasing in Johannesburg. And by and large, we find that, for example, the Japanese chamber, the past 2 years has increased from 49 to 67. That just shows you there's a bigger trends, and similarly with the Indian chamber, the Chinese, and the German chamber itself. So we have a very active and we're deepening this program of aftercare with the chambers in South Africa as well as those abroad, and this makes it quite easy for us. But the DCS said that we will, yes, certainly, I think the marketing aspect will certainly, the exposure that we're going to increase, because the project will increase.
But what will be the competitive part in the
Chinese
chamber in particularly in the, are we rolling out the models of the one structure? Earlier you said the national one will be the Rolls Royce in Victoria, right? And provincially, how we work with the provincial is that we bring all the investment agencies together, all the economic development agencies together. And we bring, for example, in KZN, there are 11 district municipalities. It's the task of the provincial and local government to bring those municipalities together also in that one structure. Right? So then you have the agencies plus municipalities. So I can talk, if an investor comes, he talks to, he has a project in Business Bay, the Sarkozy municipality is there. Or if it's a government integrated there. Right? So we test the process and model we are working. Then through that, through technology we're linking. Because in the provinces you will not have all the services, right? Provinces have some services that is distinct to them. For example, the mineral mining permit provincially they can do it. The environmental permit provincially they can, so they will do it. But through the technology, they will hook up with the national one. So when you want to talk, for example, somebody in MCC on health, on pharma, in the province, you come there to the provincial one stop, so you'll be through appointments. You'll be able to link up to the national one, and you'll be able to talk to your MCC via visual conference, and you'll be able to sort those with yourself. So that's how we put, and then we put the capacity in the municipalities. As I said, these cloud services are standard services in municipalities. Your billing of energy, your electricity bill, it's the same thing. Rates and taxes is the same thing. Electricity connection is the same thing. So those things, over a period of 2 years, you must be able to map them out. What is the paperwork? How can we reduce that paperwork? And then how do we automate that paperwork to make it simple? So then municipalities will be further strengthened in the sense that they'll be able to, then you can online with those kind of services. So that is where we will have the I-simplification program or the I-guides, we will be able to do that. So also on the ease of doing business, Honorable Mantash, what did he outline is that when you're looking at the rankings, so that is just give you a basic indicator. But we know what's happening on ground as to what government is doing. Because what needs to happen in the rankings also, just gives you a basis. Because South Africa is more than 20 years now. We've done a number of these reforms. So when you don't do a reform, you basically flatten plateau. But if a country like Rwanda does, from a low base, does one serial reform, it kicks up the points. You see, so those are the indications of why we've dropped, because every year the new country is also coming on. The ranking maybe 2 years ago, 175 countries. This is 183 countries. So it just gives us a basic indicator. But from there, in government, we are able to drill deeper as to where we are, what we are doing, and what we need to improve. Because you recall, I said, these are the six services, but for us, the most important ones are the environmental impact, the land zoning, mineral permit, work visa, those are the ones that we need to support. If we are able to do that, because if you see, for sure, we've made tremendous strides on the automation in CIPC. If you're a normal company today and you go and register CIPC, you can do it on a day. The foreign company, if you have to change foreign directors, it takes a little longer, but you can do it a day. But that automation that we've done in CIPC is not reflected in the user. You see? So we just use it as a basis indicator, you know, to move up the rankings. But for sure, I think the hallmark of this investment thing is to, across the three levels of government, to remove the silo to get greater coordination, facilitation and alignment with the work that we do. So we are now starting the process, as I said, that was adopted in the IMC, and the president, the serious nature of the president is that the investment IMC, the president wants it every quarter. And what we are doing now is that we are tasked with looking at mapping the country as to where they are, where are areas that we need to package to make a significant level of investment, which are the sectors, which are the areas, which are the opportunities, so that we can take there to unlock, that we can present to investors. So that's also a core portion of the work. Now, from the business side of it, the IMC also, we said, met business before the summer. In that meeting, the president tasked the Minister of Finance and PUSA to also work on the document, to come with a plan of how we can scale up investment in the countries, what are the challenges, what are the constraints, and where we can do that in a public-private partnership. For example, can business develop an SME fund or an innovation fund for small business? So those are the things that come as business inputs into the IMC. The president will also be meeting business, and the part of the IMC is that when we do these international engagements, like when we go to WEF in January, we must have the work set out so that because alignment must be here of how we position the value proposition, proposition for South Africa investment destination before we go to WEF and those kind of international engagements. So this is part, as part of the business inputs, is also a key pillar of portion into an input into the IMC to both government and business. So our minister is the co-chair of the IMC, meaning he is the lobbyist to go and unblock issues among his fellow cabinet ministers on any aspect of investment. That's the role and the task of the minister, because he co-chairs and he calls the IMC meeting, and as I said, the president wants it once caught, and that's the serious nature in terms of our presidency is looking at how overall coordination links with different policies, what are the impacts on investment, what are the impacts on the economic development agenda. So I think it's more, we're moving to a different level. We know we are there and we're capable of attacking investment, but through the IMC now we're moving to a higher level of investment. Thank you.
Thank you very much to you, Mr. Wilson. I don't know if the ambassador has wanted to make any comments. DG, I just see that we have another hand here. Yes, I will make first.
Sorry, just to follow up. I just want to make the point that I think that there's obviously a difference between, you know, dealing collaboration with other investment chambers and countries waiting for investments to come to us, and aggressively using our embassy to actually go and hunt for investments. And that's the point that I think that we need to make, is that rather than waiting for it to come to us, let's aggressively go and hunt it. And then, Chair, just for you, I'd just like to find out, are we going to have Best SA come back, you know, I hope another two times this year, just to track the progress going forward, you know, obviously being a new sort of function, I think it would be important, you know, that we have them at least twice this year just to keep up to date with where they're going.
Let's put it this way, I'm sure they'll definitely come back once again, but given our hiatus before the local government elections, that may be difficult to have twice. You know, so we've had them all meeting now, and perhaps we need to look at seeing them again round about October. But let's discuss this. I do think it's exciting, and it's important for us to keep track on. I mean, it's really, it's probably the best news I've had for a long time. And just one little thing there, there was a reference to the investments that have come in 2016, the actual numbers, figures. I know in the previous budget, there was reference to things like BMW, Merck, etc. But presumably that was in the previous financial year, right? And while you have indicated that there has been somewhat of a readjustment on our ratings, just in there, the order and the reason for that, is there any indication in terms of the investment we got what we're looking at now, DG.
Yes, the thanks for that reminder.
That's right. That is for this year. There's been a big, it was in the papers about, I think when Akhtar said there's a big drop in 2015. And as I said, the reserve, the untapped person did say it's estimates, but the final figures have now come in from the reserve bank in their quarterly report they've given us now. So we've got the actual figures. So, as I said, so what is happening is that FDI into the country is still growing. Where there is a paper decline is because we record net investments. That is money coming in and money going out. Right? Now, money going out is actually not necessarily a bad thing. For example, I mean, one of the big investments is where GSK, GlaxoSmithKline, right, sold their shares to Aspen Pharmacare, which is an African multinational. And all the members of the money was Aspen. So what happened is, so that would be recorded as a net loss of foreign investment, because GSK is foreign owned.
Yeah.
Aspen is local owned. GSK, so Aspen is actually expanding now, because as you know, they're the fourth largest global company. They bought the GlaxoSmithKline shares, but in terms of the Reserve Bank recording, that's a loss of, that's an outflow, because. Similarly, the other big one is Brait. As you know, the Christo Biso, which was also at our, it was very good to have him at our business meeting at the beginning of the year, but he sold to a 37.1% share in Pepcor. He sold it to Steinhoff, which again is also a big investor in South Africa, but it is listed on the Frankfurt Stock Exchange. So again, that is an outflow, because it's an outflow from Pepcor, from Bay to one, and then the other one was ENRCA, which is a 13%, which was sold in Northern Platinum. So as I said, so in a sense, I can say that really the decline that was reflected is in a sense a paper decline. It's just the change of shareholdings between foreign companies. But I think what we have given you is the real FDI in plant machinery and equipment, which are these ones. As you see, but that Toyota 5.7 billion, they will be producing the Hilux and the Fortuna, the SUV. So that will not only be an investment in jobs, more than 10,000 people being in the Toyota plant, but they will also be earning foreign exchange, because they will be exporting the Hilux and so on. So I think, as we said, the trend which is positive is on these kind of investments.
Thank you very much, DG. I am looking around at members, and it does seem as if, you know, while they do, they're very excited and so on, they want to digest this, and then track it, monitor it, and engage with you again in a couple of months. It is very exciting. And, you know, I think Mr. Hurston must be in his element there as he sees this work coming to fruition. And it's understandable, I see this in one way, when you're talking about the net, the outflows, etc. The way I was looking at it is that, on one hand, we have the South African-owned major multinational, right here, Aspen. In a way, that's a plus. Now, it's in South Africa, so it depends which way one looks at it. Yes, it's an outflow, but at the same time, we're losing so-called, it's a net loss of foreign investment. But it's also a gain in something else. And I think we need to look at it like that, because I'm sure a lot of the black industrialist programs and ownership will work in that particular manner, you see. Anyway, I want to thank you very much, DG, you and your team. But I just want to mention a couple of other things, members. It is an exciting day. There's an exhibition walkabout. The minister's going on that, I suppose, at 12:30. There's a media briefing at 12, so for those of you who've got that time, it'll be very interesting. The exhibition walkabout.